The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Here's Miller and Kahn.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hi, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on a rainy, awful Tuesday, but glad to be back here on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3. Who am I kidding? 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and it's Ken Miller, and we're going to talk about sports with you for the next couple of hours. And thank you for spending some of that time here with us on the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today. We're going to start with our Tuesday NFL conversation. Tell you right off the bat, not going to get any Iowa media from Orlando today or tomorrow to preview the Kentucky game, because they are all at practice. And apparently the media is watching practice, including Spencer Petras taking first team reps at the quarterback position. So we will do a whole bunch of that on Thursday. Tom Cakert is there. Scott Dockerman is there. We'll get them on Thursday. Here's what we have today. We'll start with Dave Sinikin on the number one seed in the NFC Green Bay Packers. We will talk to Nick Athan on the number one seed in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs. Bama Bob Trent and I will preview the next couple of days worth of bowl games, and so far there are seven, I believe, that are scheduled to take place. Fingers crossed that they do. And then Dave Sproul, who just got turned loose of the Dabo Swinney Matt Campbell joint press conference for the Cheez-It Bowl. He will recap what was said, if anything, with us at about 11:35 as we take you until noon. Glad you're with us, Trent Condon. Good to see you. Jack and Ella, your kids, I'm guessing, kept you running. Did Jack understand what was going on? I mean, I know Ella did.
Yes.
Did Jack get it?
I think so. So he got to visit Santa, a week and a half ago, whatever mm-hmm. it was. He was understanding it, and he was talking a lot about our elf on the shelf, Serena.
Uh-huh.
She's going to live with Santa now. Rudolph is there. So, yeah, he was getting it all. Uh-huh. I think he understood the stocking, and he got the presents that came from Santa and the ones that came from Mom and Dad, and it was worth it. You know, Christmas Eve, we're up at my parents' place, so long drive home that night, get the kids to bed, then getting everything ready under the tree. Mm-hmm. So
what time did Santa get to bed?
2 a.m.
What time did they get Pops up?
It was in the sevens.
Well, that's not bad. Could have been worse.
Could have been
it
worse.
It will be worse in the years to come.
And Jack was still sleeping. Ella was up, of course, first. Yeah. And so she got to do her stocking before we got under the tree. So it was incredible. Yeah. You know, you these moments and...
Oh, man, it's for kids. Christmas is for kids.
It absolutely is.
Not without a doubt.
And you can't trade it. Just the special moment, the thoughts, the magic of the season. And I still believe in the magic of
Christmas.
Good
for you, man. Good for you. And there'll come a time, be a long time for you, 20, 30 years, that you would give anything to be able to do it again.
Yeah.
You really and truly would. So good. I'm glad that the kids had a good time, Mom and Dad. Provided them a good Christmas, and hope everybody out there was in the same boat, that had a pretty good couple of days.
And also put something under the tree, though. It was the wife's present. It was a present for both of us. We're going to go up again to the Bears-Vikings Week 18 game.
Good for you.
This year, dropping the kids off and my parents on the way up north, and then we get a Saturday in Minneapolis, just her and I.
Right.
Been a long time for something like that.
Good for you.
And then to the game. I'm really hoping it is a noon game, though.
Well, here's the thing, and maybe you're aware of this. I was not aware of this. There are two games on Saturday. The NFL has not announced who those teams are yet.
Could change the plans a little bit.
Well, and did you know that?
I didn't.
I didn't either. But there are two games in Week 18 that will be, I'll use the word flex.
Sure.
I don't know how they're going to do it. I searched online to see what is out there. It's confirmed that there are two games on Saturday. What is the date of that? Is it
the, that would be the 8th.
The 8th. You're right. The 9th is the Sunday closing day. So there are two games on the 8th, and I believe ABC and ESPN have them both.
Oh, okay.
Herbstreit and Fowler are doing one.
So I remember, yes, hearing that they were doing a game at the end of the season. I guess I just didn't put two and two together.
Yep, nor
and
did
figure
it
out that it was going to be on Saturday. All right. Well, I wouldn't get a guess. Bears Vikings is probably not part of the flex.
Well, what would you? What would the NFL do though they for competitive debt balance?
They want playoff contenders and maybe the ones that are standalone. If Team X wins, they clinch.
Right, something like that.
If they lose, they're out. And want to make it simple as possible because the other thing that they do is they'll shift start times.
Yes.
If teams are playing at the same time that impact each other, they want them playing at the same time.
Absolutely.
But about 3 years ago, they started doing that heavy. There was every once in a while they'd flex a game or two. But now it seems like they move everything. If there's playoff implications, they're all going to be playing at the same time.
Well, we'll see. What I anticipate, one of them is going to be a 3 o'clock, and the other one will be a prime time at 7. But we will have football on Saturday the 8th. Anyways, well, hopefully, fingers crossed that it is Sunday, so you can get up there, have a Saturday, and in the Twin Cities, beautiful city.
It is. Yeah, I love Minneapolis. Wonderful city. Haven't been there without kids in a long time either. And
right.
Our friends and family that are up there that live in Minneapolis is always fun to get together with them.
Good.
Maybe have a dinner just us. And good Christmas present. I was thinking this year.
Yeah, you were. That was well done. So have you got your tickets already?
No looking. My buddy, who I've talked about before, was in my wedding. Single guy. Late 30s.
Well, you've
living
stayed
the life.
There, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
stayed
that.
With him in the Final Four.
Right, yeah.
Has a great condo. And he also has season tickets. He has three of them. And want to see if the two guys that he has the tickets with plan on going. If not, maybe just buy with him. And then,
well, what's on the line, really? I mean, right now,
it
the
could
Vikings,
be the Vikings. I mean,
I guess it could.
They need help, but yes.
Right now they're scheduled to draft 12th.
That's nuts.
12th.
Anywhere from being a playoff team.
Right. Now they're in the 12th hole.
That's wild.
For those of you who follow teams that are out of it,
we need the Broncos to get another win.
Oh, still, so you can cash your ticket?
Yeah, they're still stuck at 7.
Well, if they do, it's going to be this week when they go to take on the Chargers.
Unless Kansas City has nothing to
play
for.
See, I don't think they will. I mean, you saw Tennessee.
It did.
Oof. I didn't see that coming. No, you're 100% right. It's the NFL.
Did you have the Chargers losing to Houston?
No.
And Houston in the points. I did not have them winning that game. Winning it just in
They clobbered them.
So I got a question for you. You love Justin Herbert.
I do.
Who do you love more, Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
That dude's a stud.
Oh, my gosh.
I was thinking of a comp listening. I was listening to an NFL conversation on the way in this morning, and I was just trying to think of a comp for Joe Burrow. And this popped into my mind. Joe Montana.
Well,
I know it's
a little.
The 49ers were a
terrible.
Pretty bad organization
yes.
before he got there, and he completely changed, and they were the team of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow, he's got that.
Gifted. He's got it.
He does.
He had it at LSU. Now he has really good receivers at
he
LSU.
He did, but LSU's always had great receivers.
That's true, and now he's got one of them with him in Cincinnati.
Receivers has never been a problem at LSU. It was usually quarterback.
That's true.
It was just offense
That's
in 100%
general. 100%
true. Les Miles national championship. Yep. Even Saban's championship, that was not an offensive team, and he became and made them an offensive team. There's just something about that guy. You get one, it's Burrow.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. You know I love Joe Burrow. I love Joe Burrow. He's going to be fun to watch for the rest of his career. Man, he put on a show this past weekend. I love what he did to the Ravens, kind of running it up and still throwing the ball when the game was no longer in doubt. Anyways, fun weekend of the NFL.
So every time you see a game like Joe Burrow had, they bring up Norm Van Brocklin.
Uh-huh.
I would love to see the game film of that one where he threw for the 580 yards, whatever it is, the NFL record, because it was in an era.
They didn't throw the football.
But not at that level.
No.
What it looked like, how it was played, was it just a bunch of 80-yard
bombs?
High-top
shoes. and guys running away, running a 4.8 or a 4.9 and running away from whoever was chasing them?
That's a rabbit hole I need to go down some night on YouTube and just see what exactly that looked like at that time where it was a completely different era. And yet, every time a game like that, I remember the Warren Moon game in 1991. I remember these games. But I have no recollection. I've never read the story about the way the game was, anything like that, of Norm Van Brocklin.
Well, here's a rabbit hole you can go down that's kind of here and now. You have to watch Madden.
It's on the DVR.
It is so good. You know, I watched two documentaries over the weekend, Get Back, which is amazing, and Madden. And I kind of feel like I was watching the Beatles when I was watching Madden, because that's what he is. Mm-hmm. He's to broadcasting what the Beatles were to music. What a life he had. And just some of the things you forget about this cat. I mean, I don't remember him. I didn't. Busting through drywall into a bar?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, he was a cash cow. He had so many irons and so many fires. As he said in the documentary, he was a great businessman. Troy Aikman maybe had the line of the, I don't think he meant it to be. He said that basically John Madden narrated his career and all of the Cowboys at that time, because that's, and Madden bouncing around and, you know, starting down the chain with, I mean, look at the guy. He worked with Jack Buck. He worked with Vince Scully. He worked with Bob Costas. And then, you know, obviously, the magic that Summerall and Madden had. And then in the end, that Madden and Al Michaels had. That was phenomenal. The Beatles, my God. It's just incredible.
It's worth the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Watching these cats write songs that you've heard. If you're, you know, in your 60s, in your 70s, maybe in your 50s, this is our lives, the Beatles, right? Mm-hmm. And watching Get Back, JoJo left his home in Tucson, Arizona, right? And now, it's just amazing. If you haven't watched it, if you get a chance, it's long. The first part of the three-parter isn't the best of them, but
okay.
man, it was great. The bowl games, did any bowl resonate with you more than others, what we've seen so far?
I haven't, honestly. NBA, I didn't watch any on Christmas
I didn't watch a single shot.
Didn't see anything on that day. Was ready for the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, me too.
And that one was taken away.
Right.
Yesterday.
It's funny because I had somebody on my walk and someone on Twitter read, what are you guys going to do about Klaxons?
Oh, yes.
Because that was our Klaxons tiebreaker.
Right.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's a Christmas Eve. I watched Peyton's Place. I watched a binge watch Peyton Place.
Christmas Day became the NFL. Uh-huh. Didn't watch any of the Camellia Bowl.
No, I was watching Madden.
Yeah, Ball State, Georgia State, nothing there. Mm-hmm. We were driving during UCF of Florida, so didn't see much of that until the end. It just, bowl games haven't got there. And with all these cancellations, it's more and more difficult.
Yeah.
Today, it ramps up.
It does.
Looks like we're going to get the full complement, at least as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going
likewise
to get that
tomorrow, fingers crossed.
Yes. So we get through that. We get through these next couple of days. I think I'll be back into it. But college football, here's something for you. Best regular season, arguably, in sport. I mean, the arguing.
Yeah.
The debating. Polls, the it is so
the
incredible.
Tuesday show.
Yes, right. How you have this sport that is weird and goofy, and you got teams from all over the country, and you got different levels.
We start in June waiting for the magazines, go to July with the press conferences, the Big Ten media days, mm-hmm. those type of things, Big Ten, 12, whatever. And then we get into the practice, into the it's amazing. Yes, to your point.
And then you get this break, and you get this lull, and you just mm-hmm. expect everybody to jump back in. I know TV numbers going to be good for the bowl games, but
they will.
How much better it could be
with the playoffs that would have started,
right? Yeah. And you have playoff games to talk about, and you don't lose that momentum of the season, because even for me, who is as big a college football fan as you're going to find,
right?
Momentum's lost, and it's hard to uh-huh. kind of ramp back up into it. We're looking at New Year's Day on Saturday. I just don't feel, I don't have a great tugging at me.
I think you'll get there by then.
By then, but it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And hopefully everybody gets at least something what they want. We mm-hmm. get the 12-team playoff. It will improve things, I think, dramatically.
Well, you won't see the opt-outs, I don't think. I don't think
not
you'll
for
see,
playoff games.
No, not you won't see. You'll still see some, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think you'll see. Look, I think Breece Hall plays if Iowa State's in a playoff.
Oh no, don't. Yeah,
I really do.
Tyler Goodson's playing.
Yeah, I think they're both playing. Right. The opt-outs that we saw yesterday from Ohio State.
Right.
I think the receivers play.
Yes.
In the football game,
they're not playing in the Rose Bowl. But they'd play for a playoff.
They would play for, and how about that? I mean, if that doesn't drive home the point, what these guys are opting out of the Rose Bowl.
The granddaddy of them all.
Right? And it's still not big enough. I get it. I'm a huge proponent. This is the biggest, without a doubt, period of their lives as they prepare for that job interview. But if it's a playoff, I think that they play.
What does it do to the bowl games? Honestly, anymore, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
I just don't care. Mm-hmm. What's the best thing for the sport? And the best thing mm-hmm. for the sport is to have an expanded playoff, to have more teams available, to get in there, to have those games in November and into December really matter on a big scale. Teams vying for position, all those things are going to be so important. Do it right. Get it done. Figure this thing out sooner rather than later. And you can't have this dangling for another 3-4 years. You just can't.
No.
This has to be done by 2023 and have it in place next season, the final round of the 4-team playoff, and then go from there. Mm-hmm. Again, what these commissioners, they look at so many different things. I understand ultimately it's a business for them. What's best
and they're
for
all
the
looking
sport?
Out for their own conference, and that's because there's no leadership.
You're right.
There's no leadership.
And they need that. They will need they ever get it?
They need a... Well, I want to think that they will because that makes sense, but then at the same time, what you just said, mm-hmm. it makes too much sense. I don't know. We've been harping about it for a long time.
Right.
I mean, they need you need a single voice, and you're not getting that at this point, so... We shall see. Iowa State Clemson tomorrow. That's a 4:45. Of course, the bus has that. We have to wait until Saturday for Iowa and Kentucky. That is a noon kickoff on ABC. Is Mediacom still in the ABC fight?
Yes.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Still there. You can get it with the rabbit ears. Right. You can get the digital. You can go that route.
Yeah, you can find ways to get around
yes,
it, right?
Yeah.
But that's gone. How long has that gone on?
Almost a year, isn't it?
It's got to be.
Yeah. Pushing that direction. Mm-hmm. It's the way of the world, though, isn't
it? Yeah. We saw a lot of college basketball games shelved. Mm-hmm. Iowa's still on tomorrow night, right, as far as we know?
As of right now, yeah, against Western Illinois, a much improved Leatherneck squad. That is not going to be the cakewalk.
Okay.
Maybe some people are anticipating against the Leathernecks. You think of all these tomato cans that they played this mm-hmm. year. This one's going to be a little different.
Well, that's good. It'll test him in advance of
Coach
the Big
Jeter's,
Ten play.
He's got a good squad. He's recruited very well, got some Chicagoland, used his ties to Chicago to bring some players over there. So Western Illinois, I'm going to guess Iowa will be still probably a 17-18-point mm-hmm. favorite. If it's right at that number, I think I'm grabbing the Leathernecks
Speaking
right away.
Of numbers, how did you do in your picks? Do you remember?
0-4.
You were?
Yes, I got clubbed.
Holy man.
We were opposite. You had another good week. You're chipping back
yeah,
away,
three
getting
and
back
one,
into
and,
it.
And I lost one. I lost the, what game did I lose?
You lost.
I lost the Weibel.
Yeah, yep. You had Memphis. Yep. So do you want to pick a game today
nope.
to get to 5? Can I pick a game today to try to get to 5?
Sure.
I don't know if I want to. Maybe just take my 0-4 and move on.
Yeah, if I had to, I think I would take, well, it's one of the two late games.
Okay.
I think Mississippi, that's a lot of points.
It's a ton of points.
And I mean, I think Leach is going to want to kill Texas Tech.
He
brought up the lawsuit yesterday.
Of course.
I mean, that left a mark. I do think Houston will give Auburn all they want. I have no opinion on Air Force Louisville. I like Minnesota. I like the Big Ten to knock off the Big 12. But if I had to take one, I think I would take the Holiday Bowl.
Take the Holiday Bowl, and you're on the Euclid
NC side? State.
You're on NC State.
Yeah.
Our team from before the season.
Right.
I love
it. They set the number at 6, right?
With Drake's own, Dave Doran.
Drake's own, Dave Doran, right.
Running there, just under a field goal in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that one. And another part that I love about, you know, these bowl games, you get deeper, is you start to make these grand generalizations about what a conference is.
Yeah.
It ultimately doesn't matter. No, it's about each and every single
right.
matchup. But I can already see it tonight. It's a late night game. People are going to be getting into the sauce. And you're going to see Cy-Hawk Twitter
uh-huh.
getting into it in a stupid
good.
West Virginia-Minnesota game. You know what's going to happen.
Sure.
It happens seemingly every single time. You get Big Ten versus uh-huh. Big 12, and somebody pokes the other side, and then it just gets going. I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
it moves the needle, right?
It does.
From what we do. Yeah, I mean, I guess if I mean, I like Minnesota.
You like the Gophers.
And they got
a
the
weird
defensive
number.
Coordinator back who, what's his name, Siako?
Soraka.
Soraka?
Kirk Soraka, yeah.
Kirk Soraka, who was so good at Minnesota, then went to West Virginia.
Well, he was at Penn State in between.
Penn State, West Virginia, yep. Now back to Minnesota.
He said he is not going to be calling plays.
Uh-huh.
They talked to both sides, and
uh-huh.
Phil Fleck made the phone call and talked to Neil Brown. Hey, we're not going to have him making calls here. That wouldn't be fair to you. But he's in meetings all week.
Of course he is.
And what that means for West Virginia, I mean, they have to change all their signals, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to do everything differently leading into this game. Plus, you don't have Letty Brown.
That's a blow.
Yeah, Gophers.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Gophers. I'm with you on the Gophers. What do you want to do? You want
is that going to be your pick? You can get a 4-1, and you can still. That's another win for you. You need wins.
I know I do.
You're still a ways behind.
A ways behind. I'm buried.
I'm 44-40 now. Mm-hmm. You are 35-48.
So in our Bet Rivers contest that you and I and Sipker and Hawkeyes on Twitter at Hawkeyes, Andrew Downs,
and the Quad City Rock
and
guy.
The Quad City Rock Station, yeah. Who's leading that contest as
I
we
think
play
both
for Brighton
AD
rights?
And Sipker are towards the top.
Are they?
They have at least added
so
to
we
their
started
bankroll.
With 250 and they're on the plus side?
Yes. I think they're both around 275, something like
okay.
that.
Have you cashed a ticket?
No.
Neither have I.
I got my money back yesterday because one of the guys that had as a touchdown score didn't play.
Oh, so you got
my $5 back.
Refund?
Yeah. That was the best that I've done to this point is get my money back. It has been ugly. So today, well, what do? You just go and I'm going to bet at everything. And I'm going to bet a round robin. And round robin means I have 56 bets out there today with all the two-teamers, the three-team parlays, four, five.
And you used every one of the games?
Every one of the games, also a total in there. So I got six total events, if you will. And a way to lose money. It's a fun contest, though. And that trophy, you saw the picture.
I haven't seen. Where was the picture?
We got email yesterday.
Oh, I didn't look at my email.
Yes, and it is a
nice.
Beauty.
Well, it's bragging rights, right?
Yes.
As much as anything. By the way, if you like sports wagering, well, you're going to like the show. And we have Mike Palm, our friend from Circa, who joins us every week, and that will be tomorrow. If you like to listen to Mike Palm, and we get a lot of feedback on the native Iowan, who is now a muckety-muck with our friends at Circa. He will join us tomorrow at 10:45, and you and I are at the Chicken Coop for tomorrow's show, correct?
Yes, we are. A little build-up leading into the Iowa State game. We'll be there 10 to noon. Stop by, have some great wings, great food all over the place, and if you're taking a half day from work, just hang out till 4:45 kickoff.
What are you doing? Are you going to stick around?
I'll be around, yeah.
Will you?
I told you, it's a short Uber ride home.
It's really short for you.
Yes.
Really short for you. I'm going to load up on wings and make a run for Ank.
Get in your seat, get settled, and get ready to go and have some great wings afterwards.
I mean, we lost the early game yesterday, but what did we get? Vautech in Maryland, right? And then after the Iowa State-Clemson game is Oregon and Oklahoma. And I'm looking forward to that maybe as much as, other than the two, you know, needle movers, that's one I want to watch, the Alamo Bowl.
I'm right there with you. I think that one's going to be fun. Thursday, another full complement of games into another late night game. Arizona State, Wisconsin, two great defenses, two limited offenses in that one. Total 41.5. Seems high.
Do you have a feel yet as to if you had to make your pick today on the playoff games? Do you have a feel?
I think I'm grabbing the points in both.
Are you?
Yeah.
13.5 seems like a lot.
It does.
And what is it, 8.5 now, Michigan, Georgia? It's 8.5 or 7.5?
8.5 was the last that I saw.
You know what? I got it in front of me. Let me go look here. It is.
I see a 7.5, though.
Do you?
Yeah, that it popped up right on my app here.
That's 7.5 across the board.
Wow.
Circa.
So there has
MGM.
Been some Michigan money that has come in here recently.
Apparently.
That.
Trent, I like Michigan, and I've told you this since the jump. Mm-hmm. I love Michigan in this football game.
Does everybody loves Michigan, though.
Well, it's they just won the offensive line trophy.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
Yes.
They're going to go up against a good defensive front, but Georgia's defense is going up against a Joe Moore winning offensive line. I think this is a coin flip game. I really do. A complete coin flip game.
Before we saw Alabama,
and I like Michigan's offense better than Georgia's offense.
Before we saw Alabama do what they did, though, in that SEC championship game, we're talking about historically one of the best defenses of all time. I mean, this rivals the 2011 Alabama defense. This was at that level.
Yep.
They got beat.
Yep.
Alabama had a game plan, and they got beat. Are we overrating one game? Are we overrating that one game so much that we forget just how good Georgia was?
And they were doomed for a stinker. It's unfortunate he came in the SEC.
And Cade McNamara is not great.
Yeah, but I think he's okay.
He's okay.
He's playing his best football.
But okay is, I don't know if it's good enough against this defense.
I think they'll run the ball behind the offensive
line. You
do. I do.
Nobody's been able to run the ball against Georgia, though.
But they look at the Michigan's O-line. You saw them in Indianapolis.
I did. I just think maybe we're overstating a little bit, and that's where it's
well, I love
from.
The points.
Yes.
Regardless.
Yes.
And I'm going to bet Michigan outright, but I love the points. If you're giving me more than a touchdown, and then the late game, I'm the same way as you. Not the late game.
That's the early game.
The early game, Alabama-Cincinnati, two touchdowns? I don't know.
What's the anatomy of them hanging around at the very least? You know, it's we're in the end of the third quarter. It's 23-17. Well, how does Cincinnati get there? Red zone stops, holding
that,
them to field goals.
Maybe a couple of turnovers because this is a good... I mean, their secondary, Cincinnati's secondary is legit. Absolutely legit.
One thing that I was really surprised by, and some people talked about this after the SEC championship, is how Georgia, what's the term? Basically, we're good enough, we don't have to change. Mm-hmm. And how, as the game evolved, they still were doing what we do because we played so well.
Yep.
Alabama had a great game plan. And they'll have a great game plan, I'm sure, again. But, you know, that offense has been slow starting for Alabama basically every game. Well, even the SEC championship game. They were down 10-0 to Georgia in that game, too. Cincinnati can get that early blow. You know, get up 7-0 right away.
If they could, Trent. Ooh, if they could. What's Michigan to win it all? They were 7-1, I think,
That's what I saw, because I was looking at Bet Rivers for a contest to see should I dabble on that one to try to get
they're
back.
They're 7.5-1 now.
7.5-1.
Consensus 7.5-1.
So you're talking about
Alabama 6-5, Georgia -135, Cincinnati get them at 14-1, 7.5-1 on Michigan.
Win two games, beat Georgia, Alabama back to back though.
That's asking a lot.
Now, if you get the first win against Georgia, you can hedge back the other way. You can guarantee yourself a profit, and maybe that's the way to play it.
We shall see. All right, we're going to do some NFL, we'll get back to the college. We're going to obviously dwell on this a lot. Dave Sproul is going to join us in about an hour from now. It'll be a little bit longer than that. About roughly 11:30-ish for Sproul. He was at Sweeney's and Campbell's joint press conference this morning. He's in Orlando. He's going to join us today, also tomorrow, as we'll preview the Cheez-It Bowl with our friend Dave Sproul. Look forward to that conversation. 11:30 today, 10:30 tomorrow. Bama Bob is going to, and Trent and I, we're going to take a look at the games today and the games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Going around college football, 4 games today, 3 games tomorrow.
Had a caller ask, what happens when these guys opt out? Now, I believe that it is kind of just depends on what the program wants to do.
Going to the game?
Can they go to the bowl game?
Well, Breece Hall, sir.
Right. And what it all entails. I think it just depends on the coaches, right?
Yeah.
And what their decision
the
is.
Players. I mean, the players might have left and they're gone to wherever they're going to train.
There's that big place in Arizona that a lot of the guys
Florida
go
as
to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that it is. I think it's all up to
I don't think
the
there's individual. A one-size-fits-all.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's. I think there's really... Breece Hall's there, and they're glad to have him.
And Matt Campbell has been singing his praises.
Yep.
Good work out of Matt Campbell, right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. We'll take a timeout. We'll get into the NFL with the 2-1 seeds. They're two regional teams. Boy, I love when that happens, right? We get two regional teams that have a chance to go a long way in the NFL playoffs. If somebody's come across how they're going to determine, they being the NFL, is going to determine who's going to play on Saturday of Week 18, January the 8th, there are two games. I'd love to know. I'd love to know the formula, how they're going to determine who's going to play, because I can't find it. Not saying it's not out there, but I cannot find it. Anyways, we'll come back. Dave Sinikin first, Nick Athan, Bama Bob Trent and I around college football. Dave Sproul live from Orlando. That's the BMW of Des Moines guest list. We're Miller and Condon underway on a Tuesday. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3
in West Des Moines.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Let's get to our friend Dave Sinikin. Dave, you can read his blog. If you're a Packers fan, if you're an NFC North fan, if you hate the Packers, whatever, Dave Sinikin writes the headcheese.com. You also hear him on the weekends on KFAN Packer Preview. You can hear him this week. I think he was doing afternoon drive yesterday in the Twin Cities on our sister station there, KFAN. Hello, Dave Sinikin, Trent and Ken. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Hope you had a great holiday and excited for another week of football, as long as we have enough players to play.
Isn't that something? The COVID has just hit incredibly hard, and decimated rosters. Last night's Monday Night Football is certainly a perfect example of that. You know, Dave, I want to start with Aaron Rodgers, who, boy, oh boy, he sure sounds like a guy that's had an about face on how he feels and where he wants to go. Maybe I'm reading it totally wrong. I heard him say a number. This is a special place. The record words mean something to him. Lambeau Field clearly resonates with him. Dave, I just don't see a divorce coming. I really don't. I hope he stays there. I know Trent doesn't. Vikings fans don't. I get that. Where are you, Dave? Do you think, what would you say, is it still 50-50 he leaves? I just think he's going to stay, listening to him.
Yeah, I mean, if you read through the tea leaves in the last 6 weeks, even the national dialogue seems to be, everybody seems to believe that they've patched fences. They're very quick to show us photos on Twitter of Aaron Rodgers hugging Brian Gutekunst before practice, and everything seems wonderful. I still, though, am not convinced that they're going to figure out a way to tear up his deal and sign with three more years and admit that, you know, they took a gamble, drafted Love, and thought that maybe Rodgers was declining and it was time to look forward. And obviously he's about to win his second straight MVP award. I don't know. I've been pretty steadfast that I thought this was a last dance season all along. I'm starting to peel back a little, but you asked me to go to Vegas and put my money down. I'm still saying it's the last year for Rodgers in Green Bay. But yeah, like you said, I hope I'm wrong. How do you not want to enjoy watching he and Davante Adams do their thing week in, week out? So I hope I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling it's all going well and they're going to shake hands and part ways, and maybe he ends up with your favorite team next year.
Yeah. Well, I did see this scenario. How about this one? I think first and second round pick this year, first round pick next year, and Jerry Jeudy for Rodgers, and then the Broncos spend all this cap money because they're flush and go out and spend it on Davante Adams and reunite Rodgers and Adams.
And how do you celebrate?
Yeah, I'm
sure.
I'm all about that.
Right.
You know, with that defense in place, that's a pretty good deal. I do think Denver would be one of the likely landing spots because they do have a receiver or two that might attract Green Bay, who has no wide receivers under contract for next season right now. So that is going to be a position of need. A couple ones, a couple twos. I mean, that's probably the asking price, and it's going to be fun for a lot of people to kind of figure out what kind of packages might entice Green Bay. But as you can imagine, right now, that's the furthest thing from my mind. I'm hoping that everybody stays healthy and this NFC runs through Lambeau and let me get one more shot at another ring here.
In order to run through Lambeau, they got to keep winning. Of course, it's the Vikings this week back at home Sunday Night Football. 10 players on the reserve COVID list currently. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Kevin King among the headliners amongst that group. What's the latest on the COVID front as it continues to ravage not just the Packers, but across the league?
Yeah, it's getting a little dire. There's, I think, 10 or 12 players now for Green Bay. They added four yesterday, including punt returner Amari Rodgers. You mentioned the two, you know, biggest contributors, MBS and Kevin King, although King doesn't play a lot right now. So it's kind of been backups that have been nicked. But, you know, every day, Matt LaFleur said, I get a text from my head trainer and I just cringe and sort of with one eye look and see who's next. So it's, you know, they're getting hit like a lot of teams are. They haven't lost a number of frontline guys as of this moment. But obviously it's a concern every day until you get to about an hour before kickoff. You can finally exhale and say, all right, we know these guys are available to play. Minnesota's been hit to a degree and not as bad as Green Bay this week. They put their starting guard Ole Udo on the list yesterday. But, you know, it's Tuesday. These rosters might look a whole lot different by Friday.
Dave, do you put any negative check mark? The Baltimore game, it got close at the end. Cleveland, likewise, seemed like that game was closer than it should have been. Did you put anything in the fact that they're not closing? They're still winning the football game, and that's what it's about at the end of the day. But they're maybe closer than some people think that they should be.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're playing at home on Christmas night and you get four interceptions and you sack Mayfield five times and you don't turn the ball over and you win by 2 points, that's a concern. You know, they scored 3 points in the second half of that game after scoring 21 in the first half off of three interceptions. And they just can't seem to get their offense going in the second half the last 2 weeks. They get a little conservative with double score leads of late, and that's been a criticism. Just keep the foot on the gas. So I think the offense needs to just stay a little more dynamic with a lead and not just try to ride things out. You know, you could point to the replacements on the offensive line, you know, not having Cobb and Tonyan and some of the offensive weapons. But, man, I mean, you just run the ball down their throat and find a way to get it done. And they weren't able to do that Saturday. And the run defense has been just terrible the last 2 weeks. And that was something that really had been a strength of this defense. It actually kind of turned oddly enough, when they lost Whitney Mercilus, their midseason pickup, really had sort of protected the edges and did a really nice job. He still had speed at his age. And since he's gone out, things have really turned, and they've got to protect the edges for dynamic running backs. If Dalvin Cook's back Sunday, he can feast on the sidelines the way Green Bay's defense is playing the run. So that's something that has to get a whole lot better for sure. But you're right. Ultimately, they're finding ways to win. It's all right in front of them. And if Dallas steps, you know, missteps once here in the last 2 weeks, then even Green Bay could afford one loss. So it couldn't be set up really better for them at this point.
Pretty odd to find something intriguing like this towards the end of the season. But they go to the CFL for returner Devontae Dedmon. I don't know if Ken knows this guy. He played for Ottawa. Had three returns for a touchdown, two punts, and a kick this season. A great returner. And their return game has been, well, frankly, awful this year. 29th in punt returns, 30th in kick return yardage this season. Any hope at all that this is the guy that can become elixir and maybe pick up a few of those hidden yards?
Man, I would love to see it. It's been a problem for years in Green Bay. They brought in Tyler Irvin a year or two ago, and he looked good till he got hurt, and Tavon Austin. They even put Randall Cobb back there a few weeks ago before he got hurt because Rodgers, the rookie from Clemson, had been struggling so much. And I've often said at this point, just don't put anybody back there. Yeah, I'll trust Rodgers to get a drive going no matter where they start from rather than the chance of muffing a punt or doing something really stupid. But, yeah, I would have thought during the bye week, which came late and they knew they had that issue, they might have brought some returners in to see what they could find. But there's got to be guys out there that are skilled at that particular talent. We've seen both the Packers and Vikings get beaten by punt returns for touchdowns here the last couple weeks. I'm not looking for a guy that can return it for a touchdown. I want a guy that can catch the ball, maybe give me 3 or 4 yards, and then let Rodgers come out and do his thing. It's been a real concern, a real problem, and I'd love to see them find somebody like that.
Dave, have you glanced at the long-range weather forecast for Sunday night, Lambeau Field outdoors? I mean, pretty special place, NFC North divisional rival. I mean, Vikings, Lambeau, oh my gosh, the storylines write themselves. What's the weather? Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's going to be cold. There's no snow in the forecast, but high on Sunday in Green Bay, I think it's 12 degrees. Oh, so you figure by kickoff, we're looking at 6, 7, 8 degrees. So, yeah, it'll be a chilly night at Lambeau. And, you know, the real question is how badly do the Vikings want to be there after, you know, they're looking at about a 10% chance of reaching the playoffs at this point. It is a rivalry game. They won at Lambeau last year. They've beaten Green Bay 2 straight times. They probably know they're playing for a coach who's on his way out.
Yep.
So I'm real curious about the motivation for the Vikings. And if they come in there really hyped up, I just hope my team matches that.
He's theheadcheese.com. You can hear him on KFAN on Saturday morning, Sunday for the Packer preview. And filling in, how many shifts you got now for the rest of the week at KFAN?
Yeah, I'm kind of the utility man. I don't really find out until the day before.
Okay.
So as it stands right now, I think I'm off till Saturday.
Good stuff. Thank you, Dave Sinekin. We'll talk with you next week. Appreciate it. Happy New Year, Dave.
Guys.
Thank you.
Yep, you too.
Good
Bye-bye.
To talk to you. Dave Sinekin, headcheese.com. From the NFC's number one seed to the AFC, Nick Athan, primetimesportstalk.com, will join us next. Miller and Condon, 106.3.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, from the one seed in the NFC to the one seed in the AFC. Nick Athan covers those Kansas City Chiefs for PrimetimeSportsTalk.com. Graphite Construction, they sponsor our Kansas City conversation with our friend Nick Athan. Boy, oh boy, Nick. Chiefs, Bengals. Didn't see this one coming as appointment TV on week 17, but that's where we're at. Joe Burrow's a hell of a quarterback. You watch him, you know. He's going up a pretty good one in his on the Chiefs sideline as well. How are you?
Sure. I'm doing great, guys. I hope you had a great Christmas.
Indeed, we did. You've got a little one, too, at home. How did that go over?
Well, he got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
In the backseat right now, playing on the tablet, so We'll do our best here, but no, he had a great Christmas. We all did.
Good stuff. Well, Nick, let's get to Kansas City and where they're at. They're in the driver's seat. They've got on the road at Cincy this week before they go to Denver to take on when the curtain comes down on Vic Fangio's Broncos career. Obviously, this is this weekend's game has a lot more intrigue. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, let's start there. Perhaps not as bad as was first feared. Sounds like it's week to week for him.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, they've got Gore and Williams, who are a pretty mighty combination, you know, against the Steelers on Sunday, so that definitely helped. My understanding is that he's going to be fine. He may miss a game. He could play this week. He's, you know, I mean, I can give him some criticism on how he runs and not cutting back and things like that, but his toughness, you know, is unquestionable. If he can play this weekend, I mean, I think they're going to need all three running backs, to be honest with you. Because I think it's a good healthy mix to bring in three guys that can do three different things with rested legs, but I think he's going to be okay.
Opening touchdown, they march down, get out to an early lead. There were so many questions. Of course, 13 players at one point were on the COVID list. Kelce wasn't able to go. A couple other starters, but it shows you also, I think, the depth of this team. But maybe most importantly, the strength of the organization as a whole. We've seen plenty of these teams that have had these kind of opt-outs that haven't been able to answer the bell. Chiefs, they were ready to go from the get-go.
Yeah, they have. I mean, I saw some stuff this morning and it's really not been talked about, but, you know, the toughness of the team and the leadership of Andy Reid, it's unquestionable. I mean, just think about it. From the Super Bowl, the 4 days of the Super Bowl, to the a lot of question marks. You know, starting off slow, having a few injuries to deal with, and everybody saying that this team was no good anymore, they were going to miss the playoffs. And somehow Andy kept the glue together because he knew eventually they were going to figure it out. And, you know, when they're out firing in the first half like they were, you know, the last few weeks and they're scoring points, you know, there's not going to be too many teams that are going to be able to come back from that. Clearly, you know, Pittsburgh wasn't going to. This game was over in the second quarter. But I think that the depth is really, you know, I take it as a badge of honor. You know, Kelce's out. Hill basically caught two passes. Mm-hmm. And yet Mahomes threw for, what?
250.
Yeah. 300. Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, I guess the narrative about Patrick Mahomes not being able to, you know, have a good game without his weapons is out the window because a lot of guys just looked up and he set the ball out. He didn't focus on anybody, which I think is a good thing for him. Hill's 100% and Kelce's 100%.
Well, and I mean, I didn't have Byron Pringle having the game that he had to back up your point, Nick. I mean, there's no Travis Kelce, who's as big of a weapon as there is in the league. Likewise, Tyreek Hill, as you mentioned, he caught two balls for, I think, under 20 yards and three touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes and north of 250 as far as passing yards. But Byron Pringle was terrific. And even Hardman, who, you know, you've been critical of him over the years, and I don't think it's been unfair by any means. I mean, they both had good games. So your point is that they've developed some depth behind those two go-to guys.
You know what was interesting for a nerd like me who watches routes and patterns? They were running the same plays at the tight end position, the wide receiver position, as if Hill and Kelce were in the game, which, you know, you normally don't do, and you normally don't have the confidence. You know, Pringle is not Tyreek Hill, and Blake Bell is certainly not Travis Kelce, but they ran the same route. And they ran the same things that they did when those guys were there. And that tells me that they are maturing. You know, Hardman has all the talent in the world. He just hasn't been able to put it together. Pringle's been around for, 4 or 5 years now. Local kid from Kansas State. You know, has had some success in this offense. Has had some drops. But they just he's never doubted himself. And so I just think the fact that he stuck to the game plan, said, okay, this is what we're going to run. We're just going to plug this guy in instead of that guy and have the confidence to do it. And then again, to pull it off. That's a heck of a feat.
You mentioned the Pringle touchdown, and one thing that was brought up by Brian Baldinger, I really like what he does, the Baldy breakdowns on Twitter, some of the little nuances of the game, and something that I certainly didn't catch during the game. He put it to his offensive line right after that touchdown, giving him so much time to move around. Yep. That offensive line has come to an absolutely high level from what we saw back in October to what they are right now. Offensive line, but then also Mahomes, just being that kind of leader, not pointing to the guy that caught a touchdown, one of the few of his career, but right away pointing to his offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line is bringing together. I mean, that's not going anywhere. You know, that's escaping.
You know, Nick, we're really having trouble with your phone, man. I think we've lost you.
Work, but he played great. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're going in and out, yeah. Nick. It's really tough.
How about now? Is that better?
Yep, you're fine now. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Okay. All right, great. So, I mean, I think this offensive line is mature. They've grown together. I think the tackle position is still something that they have to address. Mm-hmm. You know, they either need to get these guys to play a little bit more sound, but, you know, I think all in all, from where we're at, from the Super Bowl to September, October, I think the Chiefs offensive line is in pretty good shape and is definitely ready for the stretch run.
Did you watch Madden?
But I haven't finished yet, but what I saw was pretty amazing.
Indeed it is. Nick, we're having trouble hearing you. We appreciate it. We'll reconnect with you next week. Thank you, Nick Athan.
All right.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Nick. Nick Athan. PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, Graphite Construction. Apologize for that. Cell phones still.
Yes.
This many years into it.
Still happens.
Yeah, it still happens when you get in a bad spot.
So at Cincinnati.
It's a tough game.
They win that one, though. Do they have it locked up with a win?
If Tennessee takes care of business, no. If Tennessee wins out, they get in. Tennessee wins, if assuming that Kansas City gives back a game.
Right.
Titans have the head-to-head against them.
They do.
So this is why I think they're going to get to Denver needing that game.
The Titans this week are home for the Dolphins.
Dolphins, look, you watched them last night.
I don't
think they're that good. They won seven straight games.
And they had a seven-game losing streak. And
never happened before until this year. Lose seven in a row, win seven in a row.
Because you would never anticipate something like... I mean, it would be rare to have a four-game losing streak and winning streak in the same year.
Without a
seven?
It's crazy. You saw Tua. Where are you on Tua? I'm glad he's not... Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. I watched Drew Locke.
Right.
I don't think he's very good.
Yet his completion percentage is through the roof.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, if you're a Dolphins fan, I don't think you really feel good about your QB. There's worse in the league, I'll give you that.
How far can you go with a guy like him? Completes a high percentage. Can make plays with his feet.
Yeah.
I still feel like there's more.
I like their defense.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee will win the football game. I believe that they will. And if they do, then week 18, Kansas City, Denver means a ton. Who did the Titans have in week 18? It's got to be a divisional foe.
Tennessee finishes up with the Texans on the road.
Well, Texans jumped up and somehow beat the Chargers, who needed that game this week.
The NFL. Isn't this, though, just an exercise in futility? It's the NFL. There's going to be a stupid upset.
Any given Sunday.
Nobody sees coming.
Said that.
You think you have it figured out, and then this happens. Goes another way.
Right, right. So, just, the Chiefs, you'd like to be in their spot, clearly. But Cincinnati's going to be a tricky spot. Yes. Cincinnati's got a ton to play for.
Absolutely.
They're in a good spot right now, but I don't think Cleveland's coming. I know the Steelers aren't. The Ravens look cooked. Might John Harbaugh be in trouble?
I would hope not. I mean, that would be so short-sighted.
Not might John Harbaugh off himself?
Look elsewhere?
Maybe.
You want him in Denver?
Been there a long time. Yeah.
I would give anything to get him in Chicago.
Sure. I think Sean Payton's going to Chicago.
Okay.
Yes. Indeed.
Okay. Sure.
With a young quarterback?
Yeah. I will take that.
Boy, Ian Book looked out of place last night, didn't he? Well, I thought he looked out of place in the NFL draft to begin with.
Right.
I mean, I didn't think there's no way in hell this guy's going to be. Well, we've missed before. I mean, Justin, come on. He's not going to make it.
Thought RG3 was going to make it.
Yeah.
Here's Kirk Cousins still playing in the league.
Which is crazy that they took two picks in the same draft year. Bama Bob, Trent and I are going to take a look at the four today, the three tomorrow. Dave Sproul is in Orlando. He will opine on Iowa State, Clemson at 11:35-ish. We're Miller and Condon, an hour to go on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.